You are listening to the Wool Academy podcast. This is episode number 5.
Hello and welcome. My name is Elizabeth Van Delden, and once a week we talk to an industry expert from the wool industry supply chain, from farm to fashion and beyond, delivering strategies and insights to be successful in wool and showcasing those beautiful stories wool has to tell.
Today's episode is supported by The Wool Room. The Wool Room is dedicated to delivering you a better night's sleep. At thewoolroom.com, you can choose from a wide range of mattresses, mattress protectors, bedding and beds filled with British wool, ensuring that you stay cool and comfortable at night. Find out how wool can improve your sleep by visiting thewoolroom.com and claim your 10% discount with the promo code WOOLACADEMY. That is the promo code WOOLACADEMY written all in one word.
Today on the show, we have Mac Bishop. Mac is the founder of Wool & Prince, an online menswear brand that makes naturally odor and wrinkle-resistant wool button-down shirts. When Mac started the company, he wore a wool shirt for 100 days in a row to demonstrate the functional properties of wool. After 4 years in upstate New York at Cornell University and another 4 years in New York City, Mac just moved back to Portland this past summer. Welcome, Mac. How are you today?
Thank you, Elizabeth. Doing well.
Great. Thank you so much for your time. And let's just get right started. Tell us a little bit about your business, Wool & Prince, and how did you come up with that idea?
Wool & Prince is all about making better, longer-lasting apparel using the fiber that we love, wool. There's a couple different stories I tell about how Wool & Prince started. One was, I graduated from Cornell and went into corporate America and was working for Unilever, a giant consumer products company. And the uniform was a business casual button-down shirt. I tended to wear a Brooks Brother non-iron or a J. Crew non-iron shirt, and I could get about two wears with it. And I was spending a lot of money at the dry cleaner, and as kind of a cheap recent graduate, I was looking for alternatives. So I turned to a vintage wool shirt, and it wasn't quite work appropriate. But at that point, I just didn't really care and was trying to save some money. I ended up wearing this vintage wool shirt, and I hardly ever had to wash it. And I was thinking to myself, wow, this is a great kind of competitive product to the standard cotton button-down shirt. So that was where the initial inspiration came from in terms of really realizing the benefits of merino wool button-down shirt. And the second story I tell about how Wool & Prince came to be is that my family has a woolen mill two woolen mills, one in Washington and one in Oregon, and the brand name is Pendleton Woolen Mills. So from a young age, I was versed in wool speak. Wool was a dinner conversation, what was going on in the business. And so I was always aware that wool was, quote-unquote, the miracle fiber. So I had that exposure, and that really kind of seeded the idea of doing something with wool.
Wow, I love that story. You kind of saw the demand in the market for these kind of shirts by being in that situation. Is that kind of where you were coming from?
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily that I saw demand. It was that I saw potential based on my experience wearing a wool shirt in a corporate environment. I noticed that the marketplace didn't really offer a wool shirt that looked and felt like a cotton shirt. That's really the goal with our button-downs is we want the shirt just to look like any other cotton shirt you buy from Gap, J. Crew, Bonobos, Brooks Brothers, those types of places. But we want it to have the functional attributes of wool. So odor resistance, wrinkle resistance, and 6 times more durable than cotton.
Yeah, and when you talk about this durability, and you mentioned that also, that that's what your shirts are about, the better, longer lasting apparel. Tell us a little bit about your target group and how that aspect is important to your target group.
Yeah. So yeah, with durability, it's like, I guess I want to make something that lasts a long time. I think, especially American, and you know, I don't know what it's like internationally, but we have such a strong consumer tendency. And I think people just buy too much stuff, and they buy stuff that isn't a quality, long-lasting product. And so I didn't want to kind of join that movement and just put out another widget. So that's a big part about what we do and how we kind of test our product. You know, will this be more durable than what else is when the other options out there? And that goes a long way with our target consumer, especially because it's a $128 shirt, right? No one's going to buy a $128 shirt that falls apart just as fast as a $78 shirt. And so, yeah, our customer is a young urban professional that kind of values a minimalist technical wardrobe. So yeah, durability is a huge component of that. And we actually, just a little kind of side story, is when we launched our t-shirt line, so button downs is the majority of our business, but we're getting into other categories and obviously using wool. We launched a 100% merino wool t-shirt, and it was incredibly luxurious. It's a 16.5 micron fiber. The weight might have been 130 or 140, I forget exactly, but it was a lightweight t-shirt. And it was the most polarizing product we made, because there was one half of our customers was like, oh my God, this is the softest, best t-shirt I've ever worn. And the other half was like, this thing does not hold up. I wore a backpack with it, and it was pilling. I threw it in the wash, and it had some holes. So anyways, we basically had to refund all the people that had issues with our t-shirt, and we quickly realized, like, we've got to make sure that every single product we put out there, that we really test it and make it a durable, long-lasting product that kind of fits our mission. And so we ended up just recently relaunching our t-shirt line, and we supplement the wool with a nylon component. So it's 78% wool, 22% nylon. That really helps with the durability.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, that's really interesting. And also what interests me is, because you said that you had this background from your family that you knew about wool, but what did you see in your target group? What was the understanding and knowledge of wool among your target group? And how were you then maybe educating your target group about wool?
Yeah, so, yeah, I like to think of Wool and Prints as bringing in new customers to the wool category. I would say, in terms of bringing in customers, the lowest hanging fruit is, yes, somebody who's familiar with the functional properties of wool. And that person is normally an outdoorsman, somebody who's active and is familiar with brands like Smart Wool and Icebreaker. I know there's a few kind of dedicated wool brands over in Europe as well. But those brands have built up a significant business kind of marketing the benefits of wool. And so if I can just say, hey, look, We've got a business casual button down that has all those same functional attributes that you love, but you're not going to look like you're going camping or hiking in our shirts. That resonates with those customers.
And did you find that they didn't understand wool? Because I always also remember your video where you went around New York telling yeah. people, feel this and what you think it is, and you got very different answers.
Yeah, I think the majority of the marketplace doesn't understand wool. As I just kind of alluded to, we really our main goal is to expand the category. You've got kind of the lowest hanging fruit with those people that are already familiar with wool. But that's not a big segment. There's not a lot of people in that group. So what we're really trying to do is also educate people who aren't familiar with the benefits of wool. And that's a very big part of what we do. We have a whole kind of landing page dedicated to the science behind wool and how it works.
And I encourage everyone listening to actually go to the website and look at that, because I think you did a really neat job. And tell me a little bit how you started. I think you started with a Kickstarter campaign. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience there?
Yeah. So I quit the job that I was talking about at Unilever, and I was working on another business at the time, and I was incubating the idea for Wool and Prints, and I partnered with a friend who does graphic design. I partnered with a friend who does fashion design and production, and then I just spent a lot of nights and weekends trying to figure out how to make the wool shirt cool again and appropriate for the business casual community. And just a kind of a side note, I think it was in the 50s that wool had about a 40% market share of all apparel. Today, it has less than 5% market share of all apparel on a fiber kind of comparison basis. It was really thinking about how to get some of that market share back and really kind of test the limits of a wool shirt. I did the 100-day challenge. I want to say it was from like maybe October, November through February-ish. If those numbers work out, and took a picture every single day of me wearing the wool shirt, and sometimes those were selfies, sometimes they were pictures with random people. I just tried to have a lot of fun with it, and then we launched on Kickstarter in April 2012. No, April 2013. I'm getting things mixed up here. April 2013, and the first week of the campaign, we went on Kickstarter and said, you know, hey, look, we've got this awesome shirt. You haven't seen anything like it. I wore it for 100 days in a row. It didn't smell. It didn't wrinkle. I didn't clean it. It's just a low maintenance button down shirt. And so the first week went pretty well. And then I think on like day five or day six, a couple blogs picked it up. And then from there, it was one of the most viral stories of that week or month. We were on Jay Leno. He cracked a couple jokes about us two nights back to back. David Letterman cracked a joke about us. We were on the front page of Huffington Post, CNN, AOL, Yahoo. It really was an incredible amount of viral momentum that we got. And then things started to get a little crazy. It was kind of the media companies were playing telephone to a certain extent. It was like, as more and more companies picked up the story, they had to sensationalize it more. And then when I really got scared, I think it was maybe the Today Show or something, they said, you know, Mac Bishop, inventor of new fabric. And I'm like, whoa, that is not at all what I'm saying. Like, we need to kind of do like a reverse PR campaign and like try to level out expectations. So we ended up stopping our Kickstarter, basically saying, hey, look, we're sold out. It was crazy. We did about, the total Kickstarter brought in around $315,000. We sold about 3,000 shirts. And on the last day before we sold it out, we did $90,000 in sales in one day.
Wow.
And that's for a business that launched, you know, 10 days previously. So it doesn't get as crazy and viral and exciting as that. There were definitely some sleepless nights in there.
I can understand. And is there, like, are there some key learnings that you could share with other, you know, startups or people who are thinking about launching a new product? Is there something you can recommend or, like, a takeaway from that experience?
Yeah. Find people who are going to give you honest feedback. I find that a lot of entrepreneurs or people just with business ideas, they don't push you to give their honest feedback. And so it's like, hey, what do you think about this idea? And somebody says, oh, that's really cool. Like, I like it. I buy it. And then they're like, sweet, that validates my idea. But in reality, you have to go like 10 layers beyond that and really say, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about this word? What do you think about this color? How does it compare to this company? And get really, really detailed feedback and kind of run your own little focus groups. Yeah, that's one big tip. You know, I was constantly editing and revising our Kickstarter campaign before we launched. I remember we did the video that you saw on the Kickstarter was probably our third attempt at a video. I sent one of our first attempts at a video to one of my buddies, and he's just like, no, not right at all. And it's just really good to have those people around you who can give you honest, real feedback. And I see that a lot with just beginner entrepreneurs tend to just look for kind of validation with a, hey, what do you think about this? Instead of like, looking how to make it better.
Oh, that's a good tip. Thank you for sharing that. And when you talk about the video, you mean the video where you wore the shirt 100 days?
Yeah, the Kickstarter video.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you started with that idea, and were you actually convinced yourself that it would work for 100 days?
I really had no idea. Yeah, it kind of blew me away. And yeah, it definitely wasn't, when I was wearing it for 100 days in a row, that wasn't necessarily going to be the main part of our kind of marketing pitch. And it just so happens that we got a ton of great content. The shirt did fantastic. There were definitely some days where it didn't smell great, but the awesome thing about wool is if you hang it up, it tends to air out overnight. It releases its wrinkles overnight. So yeah, I went to bed a couple of nights thinking like, I'm not sure if I can wear that tomorrow, but, woke up the next day and it was, fresh.
Yeah, no, I experienced that myself. I also try to wear wool as much as possible, but what you just mentioned, I think is really important that, the video was a way of creating content, and also what you said that your friend said, no, this isn't right yet, and you kind of edited it 3 times. And I think maybe that's also what kind of led to your success on Kickstarter, because you had this great content that was so easy to share and tell the story in such a fun way. So maybe tell me a little bit more about your social media strategy and how you're using social media in your business today.
Yeah, definitely, you know, especially on Kickstarter, it's kind of the gimmicky, crazy ideas win. And it's gotten, you know, we were on Kickstarter over 3 years ago, and it's gotten even more crowded. So you really have to kind of shout and scream and do something crazy when you go on Kickstarter these days. But in terms of kind of social media and getting the word out there, we actually don't do a ton of social media. You know, we've got a small Instagram following. We've got a Facebook following. We're on Twitter. We answer kind of a lot of customer service questions on Twitter. We have a Snapchat account that hasn't posted anything yet. So we're definitely not kind of leading the social media conversation. So that really hasn't been a big part of our business. You know, the biggest kind of driver for our business is when we have bloggers and people just kind of talking about our product online. We've got a great kind of following on Reddit. There's a lot of people on Reddit that are looking for product that lasts a long time and is good, conducive for the minimalist lifestyle. And then various travel bloggers.
And do you approach these bloggers yourself, like proactively, or do they find you? How does that work?
I would say a lot of the best posts that we've gotten have been organic. But yeah, it's definitely a strategy. A lot of my kind of peers in the kind of small business apparel world will reach out to bloggers and develop relationships and, you know, provide samples whenever possible.
Mm. And I also saw on your website that you have this campaign called The Field Tester. What is that all about?
The Field Tester is a way to kind of show people how and who wear woolen prints. So it's a chance for us to tell stories just about people that we respect who are doing exciting things with their career and have a really nice kind of balanced lifestyle. It's I like to say that it's kind of the way that the brand lives and breathes is through the Field Tester campaign. It gives us a lot of character and just realness.
Yeah, and also I guess content and things to talk about for your brand.
Exactly.
And then do you also have a new campaign called Made in the USA? What is that all about?
Yes, we are working on a very small Made in USA collection. It will launch in early November. And what we're trying to do is figure out a supply chain that's as tight and local as possible. So the wool, the raw material, comes from the Northwest United States. It is then shipped down to Texas to be scoured, and then it's shipped back to the Northwest where it's dyed, spun, and woven at Pendleton Woolen Mills, and then it is cut and sewn in Portland, Oregon. The labels are from Tennessee, the inner facing is from Florida, the buttons are from Iowa, the thread is from North Carolina. Anyway, so yeah, we're trying to just be super transparent with the supply chain and find the raw materials that are as close to the consumer as possible.
And did you find it difficult to create that supply chain?
Yeah, it was very difficult, and expensive.
And do you think there's a, because there's like two trends that you're combining there. One is the so-called onshoring, so bringing back manufacturing into a country that used to be a manufacturing country long time ago. And the other trend is this traceability, where the consumer can really find out how a particular item was made and where. So do you see those two trends kind of rising in importance? Or what is your take on that?
I do. I'm very excited about both. I think the reshoring movement probably has a longer way to go than kind of the locally sourced movement. I feel like the food industry has really kind of jump-started the local movement. But yes, I'm very excited about reshoring, and I'm currently looking into figuring out how to make more product locally.
Okay, that's really exciting. So we'll watch out what happens on your blog for that. And can you tell us a little bit about what was your biggest challenge when you started your business, and what would you say is your biggest challenge today?
It's kind of both, I would say, revolve around the same question. How do you want to grow, and how do you grow? So at first, you know, we had this incredibly successful Kickstarter campaign. A lot of it was lucky and somewhat gimmicky. We delivered the shirts. The majority of the people really loved the shirts. So we had, I think it was, 2,200 customers right from the start. But then we didn't have inventory. We didn't have the cash to buy extra inventory. I brought on an apparel designer and a sourcing person, that's one person, and then a kind of graphic designer who was also doing customer service and social media. And we were all very new to what we were doing. We were all in our early 20s, and I kind of, as the, CEO, realized, wow, like now I understand why apparel, or why businesses raise money from venture capitalists or angel investors, because there is really this cash crunch right at the beginning of starting a business. And so we got over that. I borrowed some money from my family and purchased a large amount of inventory. And that just did amazing things for our business. To have shirts in inventory, to have a variety of shirts in inventory, it just gave us consistent cash flow. So that's kind of how we overcame that first challenge of like, how do we grow when we don't have any capital? And it was really just needed a kind of a capital injection to buy inventory. A capital injection like that, if people didn't necessarily love your product, that could essentially put your business under. So you got to get the product right before you really kind of invest in building out that product. That was probably an initial challenge. And then challenge today is, again, kind of similar stuff. How do you want to grow the business? I've made the decision to not wholesale the product. So the only place you can find Woolen Prints is at woolenprints.com. And I can control everything about the brand and the product and the experience through just one channel. And it really, I love it because it simplifies everything that we do, and we can really focus on the product and telling cool stories with the field tester campaigns. So yeah, at this point, I would say the challenge is how do we grow our collection with kind of the capital constraints that we have. And that's another reason why I've been really excited about kind of local manufacturing, is that you can do small batch manufacturing runs.
Yeah, that's true. And well, you were talking about, you know, developing the product, and one question that I would like to ask you is, so because you obviously talk about longer lasting apparel, which means you don't necessarily think in seasons of summer and winter and bringing out new products all the time, but at the same time you need to keep your collection fresh. So how do you work around that? That you, like, what kind of seasons are you thinking, or how do you develop the product over time to keep it fresh?
Yeah, I don't really design for particular seasons. You know, I like to have a couple shipments in the fall, prior to the holiday season. I like to have something kind of new right after the holiday season. Maybe that's late January, early February. And then some product in the summer. Maybe that's t-shirts or short sleeve button downs. But it's not, I don't really have a kind of systematic way of looking at the seasons and when I should be buying things. It's more of just like, what do we need? What's selling well? And let's make it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks for sharing that. Okay. Let's maybe come sum things up. And I always like to end the discussion kind of with a question about how did you, you know, find your way within the wool industry? Did you see a lot of support for starting your business, or how could the wool industry support businesses like yourself to make you, you know, successful in the long term? Is there like a message or learning that the wool industry as such could learn from your experience?
Well, we've worked with Walmart. They've been helpful with sourcing and finding vendors. Other than that, we really haven't worked with the wool industry too much. And yeah, I would love to get more involved with Walmart and the various organizations in the industry. I don't know if I have. I think kind of my thoughts are just like, I could do a better job reaching out, and the industry could probably do a better job reaching out to companies in the wool industry.
Yeah, no, I agree. Also, often when we talk to different stakeholders in the industry, everyone says, yeah, we would all benefit so much more if we would talk to each other much more directly, because obviously you can't know what are your needs and why are things done a certain way. Can they maybe be changed? So, but that's also part of this podcast, to kind of tell the different sides of the story of the wool industry. So thank you so much for sharing your story today. And how can people get in touch with you and Woolen Prince?
The best way to get in touch with us at Woolen Prince is just to send us an email. You can send one directly to me at mac@woolenprince.com, or if it's more of a general question not directed to me, you can send an email to help@woolenprince. And then we also have a blog. It's blog.woolenprince.com, and I write a quarterly update on the blog, and it's a great chance for customers and potential customers to ask questions about the brand, product, what's going on with the business. Every quarter I talk about our growth and our products that we're planning on launching. I started that, maybe end of 2015, and it's really been a rewarding process for me to kind of recap each quarter and then talk with the customers.
Yeah, I love that idea, and it also kind of encourages you to be accountable and deliver every quarter. So I think that's a good idea. And tell me, obviously, everyone should go and check out your products on woolenprints.com. Do you also ship internationally yet, or is it for the moment only?
Yep, we ship internationally. If the order is over $100, our lowest cost shipping is USPS First Class International. It's $10. And then we also have a DHL, which I believe is $35 when your order is over $100.
Okay, great. Well, then everyone should check out the really wonderful products. I even own a men's shirt from Woolen Prints, so there you go. Well, thank you again, Mac. Thanks for your time, and I wish you all the best.
Okay. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Make sure that you access all the additional information about today's show by going to our website. Visit elizabethvandelden.com/005. That is elizabethvandelden.com/005. If you enjoyed today's episode, please do us a big favor and give us a rating on iTunes. This will help other people find the Wool Academy podcast more easily. Thank you.